You're listening to your MBA podcast with David and Kay. Kay.
Yeah. Sorry. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Kay.
Congratulations in order, right?
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible!
Kay, the LA Lakers. Yeah. LeBron James,
Let it out.
First ever NBA Cup champions. Champions! First of all, I take offense to the fact that you on our running sheet, you put Lakers win IST. What's IST? In-season tournament?
Yeah.
In-season tournament? No. Say its name! NBA Cup. Call it the NBA Cup. I don't want to hear no in-season tournament.
Sorry.
It's the NBA Cup.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, you're right. My bad.
If you look at the caps that they wear after the game, it says champion, the championship.
Yeah. Did you watch the entire ceremony and then the post-game interviews as well?
I absolutely did. And I have to be honest with you. It felt like the NBA champions. It felt like the NBA championship.
It did have that feeling, yeah.
Obviously, after the game was over, you know, the confetti comes down from the roof, and then immediately the center court is converted into like the stage. You've got the media members coming in.
Adam Silver,
Malika Andrews, you know, the MVP trophy given out.
Yeah.
And after in the post-presser, you know, you've got Anthony Davis and LeBron James on stage, and they've got the goggles after selling some champagne.
They did do it. Yeah, I did see they were doing the champagne.
You know, I know it's December. I know it's not.
They're playing tomorrow. Right?
I think they get another day.
They're playing like at least tomorrow, the 2 days later.
Yeah, I think they play 2 days later. at least LeBron is. We might have to check D'Lo if he's playing because.
Yeah. He's already on his vacation.
Yeah, he's on the like vacation dress.
Maybe on vacation in Phoenix.
I absolutely thought it. Like, it's got the intensity, it's got the energy of the finals, specifically the bubble finals, actually.
Yeah.
Very much the 2020 vibe. So.
What do you think about Las Vegas as a neutral site for NBA games? I got a few questions about the instance in tournament, like the logistics and stuff, but yeah, I'll start with that question. What did you think of Las Vegas as a host for the finals?
Well, I would say that for the Lakers, it's hardly a neutral site because clearly this was like Lakers town, whether it was like against Phoenix, whether it was against Pelicans, and certainly against Pacers. Otherwise, I do like the fact that it's in a different city. Like I said, it felt like the bubble. You know, I wouldn't even mind if they like help us thing in Disneyland or in Orlando again, right? But it's got that kind of closed, special invitation kind of feel to it. So I like that.
Oh, well, congrats. I think, obviously this isn't, as Anthony Davis put it, the real thing.
It's absolutely the real thing.
But, you know, like big performances, LeBron predictably wins MVP, even though I think Anthony Davis deserved it with like 41 points, 20 rebounds, 4 blocks. Like, I mean, we both watched the game, right? Like, it's
domination.
I think he blocked TJ McConnell, like TJ McConnell, like one of the weakest layup attempts ever. And AD thought it was like game 7.
I know. Oh my God.
Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
The look on his
face. Oh my God. It was like possessed. Oh my God, that's funny. Actually, you know, shout out to TJ. Jesus, that guy could play. I mean, that guy was good.
Plays great. Yeah, for sure.
What team was he on? Was he always on the Pacers?
I think he's always played. He wasn't drafted by Indiana, but I think he's played for the Pacers for a couple years.
Right. Now. Wow. I mean, I know the name, but I don't. I've forgotten the player.
Yeah, I think that's
And
fair.
I think yeah, I get confused too, with. Too. Pat Connaughton, or the other white guy on the Bucks.
But I think TJ is not as good defender. Pat Connaughton is probably like a better defender and better shooter and better dunker because I think he was in a dunk contest. But TJ is like more heady, like kind of like Chris Paul in a way. Just good mid-range shooter, just really shifty and crafty and good assist and energy. like really scrappy,
tenacious.
He's a good player, but I mean, we're talking about AD, man. Can we talk about AD for once? Like, you never give him his flowers.
No, I mean, AD is incredible. I feel like every playoffs he's been incredible, basically, but it's the regular seasons that he's always injured.
Do you think, like, in the off season, when actually, just thinking about this, Bronny James probably won't enter the NBA draft this next off season, huh? Like, he's not ready. He just had surgery, or just not surgery. Sorry, he just had the heart attack, yeah, or whatever, cardiac arrest. He just got back playing today. I think this was his first game. LeBron was in attendance. There's no way he's going, unless LeBron forces him to enter the draft early so like they can play together. I feel like this, he's not ready. He's still a kid.
He's definitely not ready, but I don't think it even matters. I mean, look at the way that LeBron's looking.
Of course, it doesn't matter. He'll get drafted for sure. But I'm saying, you know, like just for his own personal development, instead of like sitting on a bench or being in the G League, like actually playing in college against, you know, players at his own age that he can actually contribute, like, you know, actually contribute to a team. I don't even think he's starting for USC as well. So I guess my point is LeBron is in his final year of his contract, which means if Bronny James doesn't enter the draft, and, you know, that means LeBron won't have to try to seek out the team that Bronny gets drafted to. It probably means another year of AD and LeBron together, which means good, great, great for Lakers because LeBron's still in his prime. But this is, let's hypothetically say that LeBron leaves in the summer. Is AD capable of carrying this team to a similar record?
No, of course not.
No, of course not.
AD is not capable of anything.
LeBron is still the heart and soul of this team, despite like, yes, AD's dominance.
This is a very insulting question.
NBA Cup Finals.
AD is absolutely not ready for anything. I mean, I'm not sure if AD is ready for the Pelicans. Now, with LeBron on a LeBron team, AD can absolutely dominate, but you need the engine that makes this thing go, right? Even for games when LeBron is... AD can definitely be the best player on the Lakers, but you need LeBron James there to orchestrate, to unlock AD. But I think to your point, what's going to happen is that LeBron's just going to go back to signing, you know, 1 year deals or 1+1.
Yeah, for sure.
Have that option, which is good. It's good for the Lakers as well, right? Someone's mentioning that at this point, LeBron has played with AD longer than he has with Kyrie, longer than Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. So it's quite amazing.
Didn't expect that. 2019? No, that's not true. That can't be possible. Is that?
It's true.
Who said this?
I did. I mean, I heard it somewhere, and I believe it.
I didn't think so.
Because he wasn't that...
Could be? Wait, say that again. So he's played longer than Dwayne Wade, and that was only 4 years. And Kyrie was only four.
AD has been... LeBron's teammate, it's the longest teammate that LeBron has ever had.
No, that's impossible, because in his first with Ilgauskas,
that's a star, I guess. It's the caveat.
Oh yeah, that's what I was saying, like pre Miami doesn't count, because he was in 6 years
right
in Cleveland first, and then those teammates, like,
yeah,
I don't know,
we're not counting
Hughes or Larry Gibson. Hughes or something. I don't know about Booby Gibson, but yeah, like Larry Hughes or Ilgauskas for sure probably would have been the longest teammate. And then, yeah, after that, it's been 4 years in Miami, 4 years back in Cleveland. And then I guess, yeah, maybe now it's the fifth year.
Which is kind of incredible, right? Because it doesn't feel this
way. It doesn't feel this way because in his first year, he didn't have Anthony Davis. And then, yeah, the bubble, I think it was a bit of a shortened season with the COVID and stuff like that. I think with games played, no. I don't believe with games played, it is. But maybe in terms of total time, like years, yeah, maybe just.
Let me ask you this. Now that LeBron has won the NBA Cup, also a Cup MVP.
LeBron has.
This is like instantly, you know, top of the list on the GOAT mountain, right? Like this is...
Mm.
unassailable record.
Where do they hang the, like, where do they hang the banner as well? Like, I bet that's gonna be like some massive banner.
You see, you're trying to make a joke there. I know you're trying to insult.
No, I'm not.
They're absolutely gonna hang a banner.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They're gonna hang this massive banner that's like blue and red because that was the color of the court.
Oh god.
And it's gonna go over, you know, one of Magic Johnson's, like.
You leave Magic out of this.
just embarrassed.
How many NBA Cups does MJ have?
Good point.
Zero.
Yeah, good point.
Couldn't do it. It's something that he never was able to achieve. And certainly...
He wasn't born late enough. It's entirely his fault.
I don't care. All I know is when I look at Michael Jordan's Wikipedia, I see no NBA Cup MVPs. Zero. LeBron James got the first. He got one.
He got the first one, yeah. Good for him. It's great that LeBron won it, to be honest, because, yeah, it needed that publicity. It needed that foundation of excellence that, you know, like that someone of LeBron's stature, someone that has won so many times, that LeBron has... actually cares about this. And you saw him, like, you know, trying to teach his teammates how to pop bottles of champagne and put the goggles on and, you know, like trying to share it in that type of celebrative environment that he's been accustomed to. But it's also, he's accustomed to losing in finals too. That's something he's very used to.
Here it comes.
So I think, like, either way, the narrative would have fit his career.
Here it comes.
But no, of course, like, I think the NBA benefited that the Lakers took this seriously and that they wanted to win. And I don't know if 500K is, I mean, obviously, to normal people, that's a lot of money. But, you know, even in a lifetime, like, 500,000 is quite a lot of money. But for them to win in a single game, yes, it's good.
It's two vacations for D'Lo.
It's worth two vacations to D'Lo. Definitely not a smart comment to make. Does LeBron make 500K a game?
See, I wonder if... is there some special treatment where the 500K is, like, tax-free because it's considered, like, a bonus? Or is it just, like, salary? Because if it's salary, then it's not as appealing as if you get, like, 500K cash.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's not like you can't declare it. Everyone saw you just earn 500K. So
no, I'm just saying, like, if it's treated
counted as taxable income, you can't, even if you got it as cash, it's irrelevant because you just earned it. So that's technically income.
Right.
But then us Las Vegas, so they'll just bet it all and then just claim it as, like, gambling winnings.
Lower. I don't know. I was just thinking about it because 500K for an NBA player is not a lot.
No, you're right. You're right. I didn't consider the tax. I don't know what the tax laws are, but in California, I think it's close to 50%, I think, at that tax bracket. So, yeah, that's probably 250, 260, maybe 260, 270 K total.
Yeah. It's like,
I mean, that's still good money.
One holiday. Right.
That's like that does put into perspective how unfortunate D'Lo, like, you think, like, oh, it's 250 per holiday.
When
in reality, it's actually only, like, 125.
Yeah, it's not a holiday.
A putrid 125 per holiday.
What was I saying? So I actually do agree that, you know, thank goodness that the Lakers won.
What kind of holidays does he go on?
Well, we saw what kind of holiday.
What kind of holidays does he go on? This is, like, crazy.
He rents a big ass yacht and goes to, like, Greece. But sounds like Devin Booker jersey.
I think the Lakers, they've hit the peak, right? This is the peak. And they're going to go on, like, a 10-game losing streak now.
So disrespectful.
And the only thing they'll ever play on ESPN is highlights from this...
so disrespectful.
NBA Cup win over some kind of random team in the Midwest or something.
Were the Nets invited to this prestigious tournament?
They were. They were fucking ramrodded by the point differential fiasco when they tied over the Magic and the Boston Celtics 3-1 in the group.
So the Magic got in instead of them. or who took their place?
The Magic didn't even get in either. The Celtics got in just because of point differential. Like on the last day of regular season play, they beat the Bulls by like 30 points or something like that.
Right,
so it got them in
the Mazzulla had to talk to Billy Donovan about that.
Yeah, like, hey, listen, I know you hate the Magic and the Nets, right? Like we're on the same page about that.
Give LaVine the ball. Yeah. Let him cook. We need to win by 30. the Bulls are like on a winning streak now without LaVine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like LaVine's.
Oh, DeRozan's not playing. DeRozan's playing.
DeRozan is back, so they won like their first like game in forever when both like DeRozan and LaVine was out, and then DeRozan came back, and I think they won another one because DeRozan at least like passes the ball. LaVine just like fucking hogs it.
Yeah, I don't know. I predicted this in the beginning that the Bulls were going to break up the team. Maybe a guy like DeRozan, who's a vet and is hungry to get past that first round. Has he even made the playoffs before? I can't recall. It's been such a long time, I guess, since
he has made the playoffs. Yes.
Won anything
in Toronto?
Huh? He's made in
Toronto.
Which? What's it?
Toronto.
Well, oh yeah, right. He was with Kawhi, right?
Like Ohtani's preferred choice.
Did you actually? So I didn't really know much about baseball. So what happened?
What happened was a bunch of news media, like legit news media, they released a story that Ohtani is signed with the Toronto Blue Jays.
The same amount? Like 700 mil?
No, they didn't release like how much he signed for. They said that he will be making, he made a decision and he'll be signing, he's chosen Toronto. Like 6 hours later, Ohtani posts on his Instagram that he's like chosen the Dodgers.
Right. And just for context, Ohtani?
Yeah. Is one
Ohtani,
of the greatest.
Ohtani is a Japanese baseball pitcher.
He's a Japanese pitcher and hitter. And.
Right. But is he still going to be pitching? Because I remember he got shoulder surgery.
We don't know if he's going to be pitching. So that's to be determined. But this guy is literally modern day Babe Ruth, where he's one of the best pitchers and one of the best hitters all in one.
But for 700 mil, like I assume that's probably the richest contract
in all sports.
Major league.
Yeah.
In all sports. Does that probably mean that he's expected to pitch?
Not necessarily.
Like, do hitters get paid that much?
Hitters do get paid a lot. Pitchers get paid obscene amounts of money because pitching is basically, that's your defense, right? That's like
the
most important part of your defense.
It's like a quarterback kind of thing like that.
Yeah. Hitting, obviously, is super important. But even if he doesn't pitch, like that's definitely a fair contract for sure. Like that's how much he's worth, basically. I mean, God, I mean, if he wasn't Japanese, if he could speak some English, he'd be worth like a billion. I mean, he's worth 700 million for someone that can't.
He doesn't speak English?
No, he doesn't speak English and he doesn't. I mean, I'm sure he speaks some English, but he doesn't speak English to the media.
I'm sure he's learning English.
Like, he's not a personality, is what I'm saying. So it's like, that's just to put in context how phenomenal his talents are. You know, because normally when we get into this sort of stratosphere of talent, you got to bring a big personality, right? It's about like larger than life figure. It's about the Shaqs, right? Whereas this guy, he's very polite. He's very quiet.
He doesn't say anything controversial, like you say.
Nothing controversial. And he's getting like the richest contract in sports. That's how valuable this guy is.
Right.
It's like literally putting together, I don't know, prime Dwight Howard and KD. Prime KD together in one.
All right. So the like best defensive player and
best offensive player.
Snake.
No. Best. What'd you say? You say best snake? When you say snake, what are you referring to? Are you referring to KD or... he's referring to KD or Dwight Howard's massive penis.
Just Stop, please. I don't want to think about this snake strangling people.
So anyway, the Toronto Blue Jays did not get him.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the difference between trading for a player and getting them to sign as a free agent. Like small town team. I know Toronto's not a small town, but I assume they're a smaller budget team, right?
I think they're a pretty large budget. They just suck. That's the problem with
Toronto. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Well, fine, not a historic franchise, I suppose, like the Cubs or the Red Sox or the Yankees and stuff like that. So it makes sense that, like teams that I know about, I suppose. I don't know the Blue Jays that well. But it would make sense that, like, when I wasn't following the news, but you said that the news media, I haven't, like, literally, I assume the color is, like, blue and white, I assume, is the color scheme. I guess when the news came out that Shohei Ohtani was signing with the Blue Jays, people were like, oh, wow, like, great win for Toronto. And then when, like you said, Ohtani said himself that, no, actually, I'm playing for the Dodgers. People were like, oh, okay, that actually makes sense. Like, why the fuck would he sign with Toronto Blue Jays when, like, he could sign for the Yankees or the Dodgers, who are, like, much more mainstream, well-known brands?
I mean, the Dodgers are definitely one of the richest teams.
That's what I'm saying. So why would you go to, like, if you had a choice between all the mainstream, or sorry, all the baseball teams, why would you choose a random team as opposed to, like, one of the most high-profile, internationally, like, recognized teams in the world, brands in the world, basically, sport brands in the world? Like, I don't think anyone outside of baseball cares about Toronto, but I think people see celebrities wear Dodgers hats and you know, and Yankees hats. Like, they know about the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox, but, like, I couldn't even tell you what is a, like, what, why are they called the Blue Jays? It's the stupidest.
It's a very proud bird. And by the way, I had a Blue Jays t-shirt.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, just remember, listeners, David did mock me and laugh at me openly when I told him I was a Nets fan.
Fair enough. Look,
I give you that. I was like, oh, yeah.
Clearly I hurt you that day.
I didn't say anything rude. I was like, hey, I recognize your accent. Are you American? And then, yeah.
Clearly I hurt you in a very deep way that day, in ways that I'm only discovering now. No, I think it was because he's a foreign player, so people thought maybe it's like, yeah, they're not into, like, the glitz and the glamour of, like, Hollywood.
Maybe. I mean, he has managers and agents and, you know, PR people. Mm. Like, he probably has the fucking prime minister. I don't know what Japan is. He's probably the prime minister of Japan, like, in his ear, telling him to sign for the Dodgers.
With the Dodgers? Although I have to say also that the thing with baseball is that it is a team sport as well, like, more so than basketball. So even if you have, like, Ohtani, you're not guaranteed, like, winnings, right? Because the current team that he's on, which is the Los Angeles Angels.
Mm. Well, why are you talking about baseball?
I have no idea.
I don't think we've ever talked about baseball. I think because I guess I brought up DeRozan. But, you know, DeRozan plays in Chicago, so...
Are you saying DeRozan will be a better baseball player?
Okay, let's switch it, because, you know, I really don't give a shit about baseball.
Oh, my God.
Are you excited if DeRozan got traded to the Lakers for D'Lo? Would you be overjoyed?
I'd be absolutely overjoyed, because DeRozan, he's a L.A. native. I think he's from Compton.
That's racist.
No, he's no, he's actually from Compton. Like, he's actually legitimately from Compton. Yeah.
No, I think you're right. That's offensive, actually.
Yeah, because when they said he's an LA native, immediately I thought Compton. Yeah, gotta be Compton.
Immediately Compton. white guy, yeah. Jason Kidd, he's from California too. Oh, he must be from Berkeley. Okay, actually, let me, I'll just end with this. I think there are some, so I think, I'll ask you a question first. Do you put aside your bias for the Lakers winning the NBA Cup, Do you think the in-season tournament was a success? Do you think this addition in the regular season and what they were trying to achieve worked?
I think it was absolutely a success, and that was mainly due to the fact that the Lakers won. And
right.
And that's not being biased. Like I said, if two lesser teams like the Pacers and the Pelicans or even the Kings, if they had they won, I think it'd be less of a deal.
Mm.
I mean, it would be still a success for sure, just because leading up to it, it definitely felt different. These aren't regular season games, right? People are definitely playing hard. So that's already a success. But I think the fact that we had the Lakers winning in this way, that just got eyeballs.
Yeah. I think it's definitely an interesting format because, like you said, they were trying to mimic the European soccer formula where they add additional trophies in the middle of the season. I mean, they don't have postseason in soccer. It's just a regular season type of thing.
Right.
In Europe, that is. So, like, whoever ends up with the most wins or points by the end of the season wins the damn thing. But they also have, like, knockout rounds where just say, you know, like Manchester United, for example, big club, yeah?
Yeah, I know of them, yeah.
So, like, they have their own domestic league where they play other Spanish, like, you know, Premier Spanish teams, what, you know, whoever they are, like, there's 20 teams in the top Spanish league. But in the, there's, like, also, like, Spanish Cup, for example. And in the Spanish Cup, Real Madrid might be playing the third tier Spanish team, you know? Like, so even though Real Madrid is heavily favored to win, because it's a knockout round, that adds to the unpredictability of the event. So in any time, Real Madrid, yes, 99% of the time will knock out that third tier team. But there is a slight chance because who knows, you know, players are injured, players are playing internationally. I don't know, whatever the reasons are, that third tier team could win against like a powerhouse like Real Madrid, right? You understand what I'm saying so far?
Yeah.
But because of the unpredictability, I think that adds to the drama of like dark horse wins.
Mm.
It's because like these teams are in third tier, do not have the budget of a Real Madrid, like that's worth $1 billion. These third tier teams are worth like only a couple mil, for example. They could not possibly get the Ronaldos and the, I don't know, Zinedine Zidane's and the David Beckhams of the world to play for their team. Like, they have to rely on, like, on local scouting and just really smart strategies to even stand a chance on the field against a team as well-run, well-resourced as Real Madrid. But in NBA, there's no such thing as, like, a team that has a market advantage apart from just talent. And talent is like kind of circular in the NBA in American sports, because what happens is when you lose in NBA, you end up getting the best player.
Terrible system.
If you're not the Detroit Pistons, usually that means you get better, like, you know, the next deal. Like, you actually improve your team because you're getting better talent. But like in baseball, for example, that I think that's probably a good analogy, is that if you're a big market, you can spend more money to get better players.
Yeah.
And it just makes it really hard for, like, say, I think the Oakland A's, for example, because I've seen Moneyball. It's really hard for Oakland A's to win the fucking thing over the Red Sox or the Yankees because they have so much more money. But I think that's what's missing in the tournament. It's like this thing is meant to be about knockout round and it's kind of like Cinderella story, like you have to win the NCAA. But because they're all NBA teams with similar conditions, with salary caps, it's not like that drama field that you see a team like the Pacers or something right. like that get to the cup. It's like the Pacers are fine. Like on any given night, they can be a team. Like it's not that crazy to think the Pacers can beat the Lakers or, you know, beat the Bucks and stuff. Like it's a good run they had, but it's not crazy on any given night that they win the game. And I think there's less of that pride because it's just a regular season game at the end of the day. If they don't win, they don't win. Like, there's only one winner that wins it. And it's not that big of a deal that they win anyway. But maybe just this idea, maybe just an idea from me.
It's a big deal to me.
It was a big deal for you. It's not really, if you think about it. But
God. It's,
If you think about it,
do we have
really,
some sad
really
music? I'm going to play some sad music over this.
It's an extra game. But what if, like, what if they did actually follow the European soccer method?
Yeah. By the way, dear listeners, this is Kane after the Buccaneers win. Imagine, like, the weeks that they lose. This is what I have to deal with.
Which is most weeks, exactly. So, like, what if they expanded the field of entries? So, it's still, to say knockout round, right?
They had the Pelicans.
No. What do you mean they did?
The Pelicans were playing.
So, like, they'd expand it, including European games, let's just say.
Right.
And European teams, sorry. And maybe in the European leagues, they have, like, something similar. Like, they have their own tournament to get into the NBA in-season tournament. So, they're, like, top 8 teams or something will then play against, say, the top 16 NBA teams that make it into their thingy. And then they kind of proceed to do like an NCAA March Madness sort of bracket, something like that. I don't know what the numbers are, whatever. It could be 16, I don't care.
I just think that's tricky because then people will say that's the World Championships instead of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I think they need to put more pride on it and actually put it on like, hey, you know, you want to win the World Champion, like you want to win the, like, don't call it NBA Cup, call it like, I don't know. Yeah, World Cup, that name's already taken. But I think that kind of gives it some more international flair. And you actually can see how NBA, because a lot of times the argument is like, oh, NBA is not, like, EuroLeague basketball is better quality than NBA games now because, you know, the style of the way they play. And
no one said this.
Huh?
No one said this. Who said this?
They say, oh, I prefer EuroLeague because EuroLeague has, like, the best style and it's less flashy. I don't watch any EuroLeague. But I think this would actually prove it. Like, let's watch the best 8 or 16 EuroLeague teams go to America. Because, like, you know, who the fuck cares about their leagues? And then play in the NBA games against, like, you know, other and against, in America. And then see who comes on top. I think that was, like, be actually a good test.
I think that's very dangerous. Because you don't want to be playing with a bunch of scrubs and no-names.
Because they're not scrubs.
Unlike soccer, where they just, like, run around and, you know, they pretend they're injured. Mm. You know, you don't want to bring over a bunch of, like, Dellavedovas over here to, like, start diving into people's legs to prove something. Right? That's very dangerous. So within the NBA system, there's set of rules. There's a set of kind of standards. There's a set of what you should do, what you can't do. Right? And I feel like that's very dangerous if you open that field up to, like, all the the European League, which might have a more physical game. Or he could have some bum trying to make a name for himself. And you don't want him to injure, like, a LeBron or AD.
I think that's important to know. But, like, because Adam Silver's constantly quoted, oh, this is European soccer, like, this is the way they bring drama into the regular season as opposed to just playing for the end of season type of thing. Like, this is how they do it. It's because you get teams that are like actual, the rags to riches analogy. Like, they're actually is it Cinderella? Is it Cinderella at the bottom? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, the actual, like, 16 seeds and NCAA equivalent where they get to the fucking, you know, third round of.
But I mean, I don't care about that. That's the thing. That's like saying, like, why would you want to go to Europe to look for that? Like you just said, we can just, like, look at Detroit. So if Detroit made a bunch of, like, a run and then they won this whole thing, like, is this going to excite you? Like, it wouldn't excite me.
Exactly, but that's my point. Who cares? Because Detroit couldn't win, like, 3-4 games in a row and then win the NBA Cup.
Have they won three games in a row this season? Sorry, Ho Yang.
Yeah, sure. I think they've lost, like, 12 in a row at the moment. but you know what I mean? Like, Lakers win this. But it's not, like, a true... Because the reason why the NBA playoffs is such a true test of, like, who actually is the best team, it's because they have to go through 4 rounds of 7-game series to come to a determination who's the best team. And it's, like, a pretty clear indication. Like, every single year, like, it's pretty fucking hard to win the championship because you have to beat a team 4 times in each round to get to win the freaking thing. So in a knockout basis, it's much more luck-based. So yeah, the Lakers won this time, and the Lakers are a good team, but it's so much harder to repeat. And then after a while, like you just, you know, you rinse and repeat the same formula of this in-season tournament. And it just becomes like, okay, whose turn is it this year? Because if you didn't put your attention, because, you know, like you said, regular season games in most cases is a hit and miss. Sometimes they're really into it, sometimes they're not. And it just so happens that it spills over into the in-season tournament standings. But if you're not in it, like if you kind of realize like, oh, three games in, like, oh, we've only won once and we've already lost twice. Then for the fourth in-season game, like, fuck it. Like, it's not, we're just going to try to win it just for a regular season, but it's not because we want to win the NBA Cup, you know? That motivation, like, because there's no historical factor as well. Like, who cares about an NBA Cup? So there's not, like, enough motivation for these guys. Like, okay, like, we really need to win. And that's just me as an outsider. I just, like, unless you were there, like, you're real close and you had a chance to win it, like the Lakers did, like the Pacers were. Like, look what the Pelicans did in this semifinals. Do you think that was a team that in it to win it?
Horrendous. We watched that game, too. God.
Yeah.
I think Zion thought there was going to be a food basket afterwards. He thought they were going to... There's going to be, like some sort of buffet or something.
What's the buffet? He was, like, looking for the buffet.
Like, seriously, look, have you... Like, Jesus Christ, he's fucking humongous. It doesn't run. He both walks and jogs funny.
I think that's, yeah. It's also probably just, sad. The easy answer is like he doesn't try hard, but maybe he just can't. Like that is the best he can do, the best effort he can give.
That could be true as well. That could, well, yeah, he doesn't come across as super motivated.
No, I mean, shouldn't be. He's a fucking elite professional athlete. He should give much better effort than that.
So before we go, I do want to get your rating. This for the last 2 weeks for your Cam Thomas and JV score.
I think JV is on the up because JV's score mostly just reflects the Nets like winning like thingy. So I think JV's done pretty well with all the injuries, so I'll give him a 6. Cam Thomas, I'll put down a bit to a 5 because he just came back from injury and he hasn't been playing very well after injury. Like he had one good game, decent game when he came back like straight after injury, but then the last two games has been two or three games has been like pretty hit and miss or pretty miss mostly. So yeah.
Very good, sir. So dear listeners, please tune in next time. And congratulations to the Lakers on winning the NBA Cup and proving anything is possible. Go Lakers! Issa Torres on the beat, boys.